Welcome to our podcast this Friday night. I'm Pastor Danny Lalea, and I've got my wife Julie, my son Benji over here to my left, your right. And this is exciting to be back. This is our first one of the new year. We're so glad to be here. It's been, boy, it's been about a month or so, I guess, since we've had a new one with all the Christmas stuff and New Year stuff. And
we've been busy and
God's
been busy.
New stuff that we've been, everything going on. This is our first one of the new year, and we're excited to be here with you. We're going to jump right into it. Literally, this is what we do. We sit down, we say, okay, what does God want us to talk about? What does God, somebody will have a little bit of a spark, and I'll say, okay, start the cameras rolling before we forget it. And so we're ready to roll. I hope you're ready to roll with us. What we were just talking about let me kind of go from it from a different angle. We'll get to what we were just talking about. But one of the things that I have been saying a lot recently, and I will continue to say it because I believe it with all my heart, it's that we, as the seed of Abraham, as God's children, it is imperative that we find ways to not act human anymore, but to act godly. The Bible talks about godliness. You have godliness. Over and over again, it talks about the imperativeness of being, of having godliness. And the idea of godliness doesn't mean that you're just some pious person that sits there and just, you know, you're wearing a monk's robe or something. That's not being God. Godliness is the act of doing things the way God would want you to do them. That is godliness. But the only way to do that is to be intentional about putting off the flesh, putting off the humanity part. God doesn't want us living in the fallen sin nature of humanity. He wants us being like Him. Being like Him. What's the whole point of saying we're being Christ-like if we don't understand that our fallen human nature is against the things of God? Paul went so far as even to say, he said, do not look at the things that are around you. He said, don't look at the fleshly things. Don't look, he said, they're temporary. He said, look at what's eternal. In other words, look and see things the way God would see them. It is impossible to please God otherwise. And you say, well, I thought the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. That's faith. That's what faith is. Faith is the act of closing your eyes to the flesh and opening them up to the things of the Spirit. And the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. And our life here, and if it's not your life, then you got to question a lot of things about yourself. Our life here is about bringing Jesus back. Yes. That's what our life is. And how are we ever going to bring Jesus back until He finds that holy, supernatural, faith-living, pleasing God people? That's what it's going to take. And so anyway, we were talking about this, and we were talking about the flesh and getting rid of the flesh. And Julie said, she actually said this a couple of weeks ago, and she said, do you remember what I said? And I said, well, you say a lot of things. What is it that you said this time? And she said the greatest sin of mankind. And I said, yeah, I remember you saying so. What was it? She said the greatest sin of man is forgetting. And she's 100% right. That's the greatest sin of man, is that they forget. God gets them to a certain point, then they forget and they start over again.
Right.
Or a God maybe uses a man of God to help get people to a certain point, and then they forget. They forget. It is the devil counts on humanity forgetting. Mm-hmm. And even more to the point today is that God will do something supernatural and we forget. We forget. We see this in Israel over and over and over again. We see how God delivered them through the plagues and through signs and wonders and through parting the Red Sea and all of that. And then all of a sudden, they're bowing to other gods, and they have a golden calf, and they're doing all these things because they forget. Mm-hmm. And the devil counts on us forgetting. You say, well, how does he do it so easy? He does it because he distracts us. He does it because he distorts things. He does it because he knows that we are so easily persuaded by what's right in front of us, by what we see.
Right.
He knows. He knows this. And that's why Jesus said, he said, it's the cares of life that keep you from your harvest. He said it's the cares of this world. He said it's the desire for other things. Jesus knew exactly, of course, what he was saying. And so the devil uses these cares of life. And this is going back to the Remnant book that I wrote. But he uses the gray area, the things that we say, well, those aren't bad things. Those aren't bad things. Those aren't negative things. But the devil uses good things to keep God's people from the supernatural things. He uses things that are good to keep us from the supernatural, because he knows as long as God's people are walking in the good and not in the supernatural, that Jesus will never come back. Mm-hmm. He knows that, and he just keeps going on and on and on and extending it, because he knows as long as I keep flashing these good things in front of God's people, they're never going to close their eyes and move to the supernatural things. But getting back to what Julie just said, she said God's people forget. And we've seen this. It is so true. So true. Just in this ministry, the work that God is doing here. I said this on Wednesday night. We didn't have a service. We had a prayer meeting, so I don't think it's recorded anywhere, unless someone just used their phone to record it. But I was telling the group of people here for this prayer night that we had, I said, you know, a couple of sacred assemblies ago, and I won't get, not the time to get into it, but God used me to ask for and to speak to two things that were signs and wonders on one of the highest levels I've ever seen before that God did for us. And I jokingly said, I said, boy, when these things, after this, I said, the whole world's going to want to come here because no one has seen anything like this before. And I said, the whole world's going to want to come. But instead of that, it wasn't shortly thereafter that people, it was the opposite happened. Because people forget.
Right.
They forget when God does something. Mm-hmm. They forget the supernatural. They forget it. And we think to ourselves, how could Israel ever forget that God split the Red Sea open for them? But we do the same things. Mm-hmm. We've seen it here. God does something that is something only he can do. Something miraculous. And we forget. And we forget. And because we forget, we give place to the devil.
Right.
And we allow the devil to step in. And it's not, you say, but I didn't do anything wrong. It's not about whether I always tell people this, you can't just stay away from the bad. You have to intentionally seek the supernatural.
Right.
You say, well, I was doing the good things, but the good things are not the supernatural. The good things are not the godly things. The good things are not the holy things. The good things are not the things that are going to lead to Jesus coming back. I don't know. Go ahead.
Going back to what you were saying about distractions, you know, I was just reminded of a very simple part that goes in Genesis and also mentioned in Hebrews. I actually mentioned it in one of my Remnant 101s. When God leads you into something so special or leads you out of something disastrous, one of the ways that the devil distracts you is with what you used to have. And what I was reminded of was the very simple phrase, remember Lot's wife.
Well, You know, that's something we've been talking a lot about here. It's about the importance of that story. And if you go back to that story, something that I preached recently was that when the angel came and told Lot all these things that were about to happen, the Bible says that they thought that Lot was just joking. They treated it like it was just a joke. And that's the same thing that people do today. When God tries to speak the supernatural, God's people, they treat it almost as a joking matter. And Lot's wife escaped the city supernaturally, by the way, through the angelic being, supernaturally, she still had to turn around and look. Why? Because she forgot. Mm-hmm. She forgot. Mm-hmm. For just a moment, she forgot. And she turned around and she became a pillar of salt. And Jesus, thousands of years later, told everyone, he said, remember Lot's wife.
Another thing we don't need to forget.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I don't know.
Well, I think you just touched on it. The remembering, it's not just remembering the works of the Lord and the mighty miracles. We have to do that. That is so important and essential for us to grow and for us to move forward and for us to be more supernatural every day. But we also have to remember the times that we or others, you know, around us did not do. We don't need to forget the disobedient times and the times, the struggles and the lessons that were learned from those things.
The times that God had to discipline his people.
Yeah, we don't need to forget those things.
Or us had to discipline us.
Right, right.
That's right.
To remember the chastening of the Lord because godly sorrow is what brings us to repentance.
Well, that's right. You know, this word forget, we think of that as being something that maybe we just don't think about in our minds. But that word forget is a powerful way to look at things. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The Bible says, forget not the assembling of yourselves together. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't forget together because that, he said, this is what pleases God. This is what pleases God. You know, people have all kinds of interpretations about that. Well, if I gather with people in my basement and have a hot tub party and we happen to put on a little Christian music or something, where if you think that's what it's talking about, then you might as well just turn the stream off and not even listen to us anymore. But that's not what it's talking about. The Bible's always trying to push us toward godliness, always trying to push us to remember to do things to help us be more godly. And one of the ways the devil keeps us from being godly is he makes us to forget. Forget what God's done. Forget what we're supposed to do. Forget how we're supposed to live. Forget, neglect, keeping us from those things. And people have... they have all types of reasons why they forget, all types of reasons why they neglect, but none of it is going to stand before the Lord. None of it is going to be something that people are going to go stand before God's throne and say, well, you know, I had good reason to forget. I had good reason to neglect this. I really thought I had a good idea, and I was wrong, but that's not going to stand before the Lord. That's not, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's that simple. And you and I don't get to decide what holiness is. You and I don't get to say, well, I just forgot. If you have kids, how many of us have had kids? I've got one sitting right here who's not a kid anymore, but he was at one time.
I got my own kids.
Yeah, exactly. But how many times have we had kids that say, Dad, Mom, I just forgot? And that's not good enough for us. You think it's good enough for God? You think that that's good enough for God? It's not. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
From a fleshly standpoint, if you do that to your boss, there's a good chance you get fired.
Mm-hmm. It's. We've got to stop thinking that things are just okay. It's just okay. I forgot. Big deal. Who cares? I was this past Sunday, and I encourage you to go watch it. But I, as I ministered, I read a small part of a message by A.W. Tozier. And I don't remember how much, I don't remember if I read this part or not from this, from his message. But in this particular message, he was talking about the remnant, which is, of course, what this program's all about. And he was saying, he said, I'm afraid that we don't understand. He used, this is the word he used. And again, he's from 75, 80 years ago. So maybe he said it a little bit differently. But the word he used was, he said, I don't think we understand how terrible, meaning how serious
right.
this whole remnant thing is. He said, God has always had a remnant. Always. And that's who God uses, and that's who is going to be able to be with God is the remnant. And I it shook me to the core. It was a lot of what we say, but it the way he put it, he says, I've come to this realization that this remnant thing, he said, this is serious business. And most people that think that they're going to heaven serving the Lord, that they're actually not. Again, I can't get into his message right now, but what he said was this. He said, it's because humanity takes things for granted. They take for granted, oh, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, my family's going to heaven. They take for granted, well, are you doing what God said? Oh, yeah, of course. I'm doing what God said, without ever really understanding that it says only by holiness that you please the Lord. And he gave example after example of how people took things for granted and how it caused destruction in their lives because they took things for granted in the Word of God. It's a sad thing to think about. It's sad, but it starts by at least saying, God, I'm not going to forget anymore. I'm not going to forget what you've said. I'm not going to forget what you've done. I'm not going to forget. And we here at the City on the Hill need to be number one on this list.
Yes.
If you're a part of this place, if you want to be a part of this place, that needs to be number one on our, we need to be number one on this. We need to be able to stand up and say, we're not going to forget. We're not going to forget when you did this miracle. I'm not going to forget. I don't know how many people know this. The Lord literally, I was standing there. I was standing there when the Lord raised my mother from the dead. I was there and I saw it with my eyes. And I remember that night. And I remember when it was over with. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I will never doubt you. And I will never forget. I remember that. That was, I don't know, 30-something years ago. And I will never forget what God did that night. And how many miracles has God done in our lives just in the last 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Just in the last 2 weeks to what God has done in our lives. And I pray that the people here that are part of the City on the Hill understand this. But I pray that if you're not, that you understand it. I pray you come and say, man of God, I want to see these things too. I want to see these miracles too. I want to see it, and I won't forget it. I can't explain to you just what God has done. We talk about the 160 years of our heritage, the miracles, God miraculously, prophetically saving our people through the Armenian genocide. But what's God done in the last week in our lives? Mm-hmm. It's been incredible, and it's kind of been hidden here. The miracles that God does, it's kind of been hidden, but we won't forget.
Right.
And I'm praying right. that you come and join us so that you can see and be a part of these miracles as well. There's nothing like it, but God makes you responsible. You want the miracles? You want to see the dead raised? You want to see them raised? Not just hear people talk about it. There's a lot of false prophets to get up and talk about it. A lot of them. And their time is coming to an end. Their time is coming to an end. You want to see the dead raised? You need to come be aware a place where God has done it and will do it.
And living like that alongside us also means forgetting not all of his benefits.
Right.
All of his benefits that we read in
yeah.
Psalm 103.
Verse 2.
Are you excuse me, are you living your daily life remembering that he heals your diseases? Are you living your daily life remembering that he's the one who redeems your life from destruction? Or are you trusting in other things to deliver you for those kinds of things? Let's always, every day, remember that those benefits are for us. Forget not them.
Well, and here's the thing. You say, well, I still have my diseases. I still have these problems. I still have destruction in my life. That's not God's fault. That's your fault. Mm-hmm. That's your fault. Why don't you come here and we'll help you get rid of those things so that you can see the miracles? It's not God's fault. God wants it. He wants, I promise you, God wants you healthy. He wants you prosperous and blessed. He wants it for you. God doesn't want his people suffering. He doesn't. I don't care who tells you that. We sometimes walk through valleys. Absolutely. We walk through valleys so we can get to a higher mountain. Yeah, that's true. But God wants you to have, to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed like Abraham was blessed. That's what the Bible says. Go read Galatians 3. It says, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means what Abraham got, you get. And you never read about Abraham being sick, do you? No. Because he was blessed of the Lord. And God wants that for you. But it all is going to come because there's a group of holy people that say, God, our lives are here to bring Jesus back. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. And just to, this is not a different direction. This is kind of adding to what we're talking about. But we were talking about, it was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about a phrase that people use all the time. And you know that you've heard people say this, but they say, that's not the season of life that I'm in. That's what they say. They say, that's not the season. I'm in a different season. I'm searching for things. I'm looking for things. That's the biggest bunch of baloney. If you really are God's child and you really are a part of the remnant, that the holy remnant that's going to see the Lord, you really are, you don't have seasons of life. They're gone. You have one season, and that is bringing Jesus back. That's it. You don't have a season.
Love it.
And you say, well, the Bible says for everything there's a season. That's not God stuff. That's man stuff. And the Bible says we have to be bigger than the man stuff.
Right.
That's not God. That's man.
Right.
We have to be bigger than that. And as we were talking, the Bible says, if you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you're living in the Spirit, then the devil's able to bombard you with all this man stuff. You got to grow up and begin to walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And walk out of all that man stuff. You got to walk out of it. You got to walk out of it and say, I'm going to walk in the supernatural. There are no seasons of life. The devil uses human things like that to help us to forget, to make us forget the godly things, to make us forget the supernatural things.
And cop out of godly responsibilities.
The season of my life is I need to find a husband or a wife. You're not in that sense. Stupid. Let God do it.
Right.
Let God do it. The season in my life is I just need to be at home taking care of my kids. No. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Where in the Word of God does it ever say anything like that? It doesn't say that. And it goes on and on. Well, the season of my life is we're going to be traveling. The season of my life is we want to go on lots of vacations. The season of my life is we want to hop in an RV and drive around. On and on. And it's so ridiculous. When God finds a holy people that their only goal is to bring him back, then we're talking. Now we're talking.
Unfortunately, Christians are probably the worst at rationalizing things. You can rationalize absolutely any behavior or any attitude. You can rationalize it toward something that sounds godly.
Well, what we do, this is where Christians start. They do exactly what the devil did. And if a Christian is doing what the devil did, then that right there tells you something. But we take a scripture and we use it for the way we want. The devil did that. The devil would take the word of God and use it for the way he wanted. Isn't that how he tempted the Lord? Mm-hmm. That's what he did. He takes the scripture, and that's exactly, I have heard Thousands and thousands of Christians do the same thing. They'll take a scripture and say, but you know, Pastor, the Bible says, and I want to look at them and say, you wouldn't know the Bible if it hit you upside the head. That's the most, we take the Bible, you hear worldly people, you hear politicians throwing around scripture, and I just turn it off because it sounds ridiculous. No, we use the Word of God the way we want to use the Word of God. We don't understand that in the Word of God, there's a plan, and the plan has never changed. And we don't get to decide how that plan works. The only thing we have to do is to turn off the flesh, begin to walk in the Spirit, and begin to say, God, we're not going to do things in a human way anymore. And I know people say, but we are human. Oh, that's okay. You want to say that? Okay. That's not what God's plan. God's plan has always been to have a supernatural people. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He had a supernatural people, but they lost it. Mm-hmm. They became flesh because they lost it. Or I should say fallen flesh, because they lost it. Fallen humanity was never God's plan. Never. Never. The whole reason Jesus came to redeem us, yes, and to wash us, yes, was to get us back to that place, right, of being supernatural, right, people.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the whole purpose, so that God can have a holy remnant. Mm-hmm. A holy remnant. That's always been God's plan. Always. And so we'll end this by saying this. Something I've been saying a lot recently, something that Tozier talked about in his sermon, something that I'm going to keep going back to. Elijah was on the mountain. He called fire down from heaven, slaughtered the false prophets, and it was shortly after that we see him running through the wilderness, plopping down in a cave, looking up and saying, God, I'm done. Nobody's listening to me. Think about this. He just had called fire down from heaven. Now he's in a cave saying, there's nothing else I can do. Why? Because no one cared. No one wanted to listen. No one wanted to believe. No one. And God came to him and he said to Elijah, he said, Elijah, he said, there's 7,000 people that have not bowed their knee. Now, again, I said this on Sunday, so if you've heard this, please just remember and bear with me. But in the time of Israel of that day, in the words of Tozier in the message, he said there were at least 7 million people, maybe much more. 7,000 represented just 1%. Of the people.
0.01%, I believe.
Thank you. Thank my genius math kids. But it represented just a minuscule, that you can't look and say, oh, 7,000. No, you have to look and say, oh my goodness, there were only 7,000 in the entire nation of Israel that were a part of the remnant? There were only 7,000? And Elijah said, God, he just called fire down. God, I'm done. No one believes. No one cares. No one wants to listen to me. And God said, Elijah, even though there's only 7,000 in this entire country, he said, it's worth it. It's worth it because it pleases me. It's worth it, Elijah. You're not done yet, Elijah. You're not done yet because it pleases me. Because those 7,000, they're mine. That's my remnant. And you say, well, what happened to all the other people that saw the fire fall down from heaven? They forgot. Just what we were talking about. They forgot. The cares of life were too big. The talk of what was going on in the country, the politics were too big. Who was king? Who was president? What was going on in our community? It was too big. And they forgot. And God said, Elijah, there's only 7,000, but that's enough because those are my people. And God always, throughout the word of God from the beginning of time, has always had a remnant. And God is looking for his remnant today. But the remnant is going to be a group of people that don't forget. They don't forget what God has done. And I'm speaking to two groups of people now. If you're a part of the city on a hill and you're watching this, then you need to know we're not going to forget. We can't forget that we serve a God of miracles, and he has done miracle after miracle after miracle in this place. Prophetic word after prophetic word that's been fulfilled. If you're not a part of this, then I ask you, why aren't you? Why don't you come and join us and say, I want to be a part of a remnant church. Not a church, not a ministry. I want to be a part of a remnant church. And remember this. We talk about the miracles, but the Bible says many are called, few are chosen. Remember that. Are you a part of the chosen few? People don't like to talk about that. Many are called, few are chosen. Ask yourself, am I a part of the chosen few? And if I am, why am I not where they're talking about that? I love you. God bless you. Benji, tell them everything going on.
All right. Our regular services every week include Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville. You can also view them on our online platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, City on a Hill Church, or COA Church. All the rest of our online functions include devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101 with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Our podcasts come out every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play those podcasts for you. And I also want to extend an invitation to please come visit us. Please,
yes, amen.
If it's on your heart and you were touched by what you heard today, please come visit us and experience the way that we do things for God and the way that God does things for his remnant.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. We'll see you, Lord willing, next week at this same time. You know, listen, between now and next week, who knows what's going to happen in the earth? Right now, the West Coast is burning down. Who knows what's going to... All I know is these are the beginning of sorrows. But for God's remnant, wow, what a great time to be living. God bless you.